Okay, I will just start already. I'll just start already, okay. You come and go, no problem. My name is Chen, and I'm from China. I've lived in Finland for more than 8 years now. Such a long time, I know. I've been a student all the time. I did my bachelor's here, not in Jyväskylä, but a city in North Finland. And I did my master's here, now I'm a PhD student in intercultural communication. So as an international student, and I've lived here for so long, I've had a lot of problems, and I want to share with you guys, so give you a heads up. And we do study intercultural communication, and by that we research a lot of people who go to different cultures and reside there. So international students obviously is one of the groups, and it also has its unique features. So let's get started. First, why do we have this lecture? So you left your familiar environment behind, you came to experience something new. And I hope that you made that decision yourself, not because your parents forced you or some other reasons. So you decided to come to a new country yourself. And you're excited, full of expectations. I hope you're excited. Are you excited? Okay, cool. And some of you are skeptical about the importance of culture shock. Culture shock, maybe you have heard the term before, but you may not know what it is, what it means, what it can do to you, and eventually how you can manage culture shock and be successful. So in this lecture, we're going to talk about how to be open-minded and also to look back at your own behaviors, your own culture, and to learn about culture shock and eventually learn how to manage stress and make the most of your stay in Jyväskylä. And there's ultimate goal there to increase your intercultural competence. Well, it's a term we use that I want to know how many of you is your first time to live abroad? Raise your hand, please. First time to live abroad. Okay, quite a few. Yep, so obviously it's not going to be I hope it's not going to be the last time. So this experience you can use living in Finland that helps you in the future to live in other cultures too, to help you adapt to new cultures. So first of all, I want to talk about this expectation triangle. So before you go to a new place, and you sort of have expectations yourself, you made the decision yourself, so you have these costs and benefits, you know, what I will gain, what I will lose. But I hope you may, in the stay in Jyväskylä, take a few minutes out and try to think about it. What do you want from yourself after your stay here, and what do you want from the university, your academic life, your studies, your colleagues, your teachers, and also Finland as a country. Finland has a lot to offer. So what is your expectations from Finland? So for a few minutes, you can think about it, and at the end of your stay, you can reflect back and see, okay, these are my expectations, how many of them are met, how many of them are not, so why, and so forth. So through that, you can understand what this study overseas has done to you and what you have made out of it. Next, we'll talk briefly what is culture. We study intercultural communication, and the culture probably has, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000 different definitions. And here are just a few examples. Language, medical care, food, jokes, manners, clothes, and dressing. So it is a very vague term. Like, we don't really know what it is. It is all over the place. But in general, we can agree that it's a way of life shared by the community or society. It's a shared behavior. It's like language. For those who speak the same language, they understand each other. If you don't speak that language, you are an out group member. And it's also our natural way of being. So you're unaware of your own culture. And this has happened to me so many times. I remember there was once I was in a Finnish class, I was studying Finnish, and there's a Russian classmate sitting next to me, and we're studying the word toaster. And we're just learning how to spell that word, how to write that word, And I was like, you know, I don't need it because I don't use the toaster. I don't eat that much bread. And the Russian classmate there was like, how do you survive without having a toaster? I said, do you have a rice cooker? So it's basically the same thing. It's your wrong culture. You can't even picture someone can't live without a toaster. Maybe that someone doesn't eat as much bread as you do. So it's our natural way of being. And being in a new environment helps you see those things a lot more. And the ultimate question also is, what is not culture? When you think about it, I bet you have no examples to give to me, because everything is culture in this sense. And too often, we equal culture to nation. So we talk about Finnish culture, Chinese culture, German culture, American culture. So one of the big categories is nation. But we also have to keep in mind that culture does not equal to nation. And Hofstede is a Dutch scholar who has developed the national culture dimensions. How many of you have heard about it? Okay. A lot more than last year, I'm glad. So it is a scale comparing different cultures on different dimensions. Now there are 6 dimensions. For instance, power, distance, individualism versus collectivism, and all those things. But personally, I don't buy, I mean, quantitative, if I speak too much into research, yes, kind of makes sense. But when we talk like interpersonal communication, we also have to take in consideration those factors like gender, like a male, female, class, like a rich, middle class, poor people, age, old versus young, ethnic, there are different ethnic groups out there, regional, like urban cities versus rural regions, and religious, of course. And we also have to keep in mind nations are not homogeneous. So do you pay attention to those subcultures? So I do hope when you ask each other, when you meet all the new friends around you, you say, hey, where are you from? I hope you can ask a little bit more, like, how's your hometown? And how's the environment there? Not just stop there. Because you sort of get an idea, okay, you're from that country. But really, how much do you know that person specifically? So I do encourage you to go a step further, ask more questions about that person, if you want to know that person, not just the nation. This is the picture online. This is Finnish food. And it doesn't exist anymore, but because obviously it just can't work. So Pussy actually means bag. So mega bag. So it's a mega size of chips. And in Finland, there are a lot of things like this before, but they don't exist anymore. It's just a funny thing I put in here that you see, because it worked before and can't work anymore. It's because globalization, more and more people speak English, they know what it means. And it's just ridiculous to have it there still. So they removed it, thank God. Cultural perception and ethnocentrism. So ethnocentrism is the thing I want to focus here. It is, I have the definition down there, a tendency to view other groups or cultures from the perspective of one's own. So you judge other cultures from your own culture values. So, and in a way, it's my culture is the center here, and other cultures should take my culture as a reference. You may say, hey, you guys eat with your hands. That's just, you know, savage. That's just, no. Civilized people don't do that. So that's a typical ethnocentric view. So we should view cultures more equal. We're just different. There's nothing high or low. So, and also associated with ethnocentric, we have the stereotypes, prejudices, discrimination, and so forth. And as you can see, late the refugee crisis in Europe, we see a lot of prejudices and discriminations too, and against immigrants here. So it is still huge. It's still a hot topic. But I do believe that university students should have a more open-minded towards towards cultural differences. Typically, we use a metaphor for culture is the iceberg. So there is explicit side, so there's the side we can see, and also the hidden part. And very often, the hidden part is a lot larger than what can be seen. So on the surface, what we can see, a culture is the language, the customs and how people dress, the food they eat, their history and traditions and so forth. But what do those things mean? Can you make any meanings out of it? On the surface, it's really hard. So that's why we have to go a little bit deeper and to see the values and beliefs, attitudes, and vision of the world, how the world is constructed, the world views, how they see the world, and the way of thinking eventually. So by looking at those things, we understand culture a lot better. It's not just, okay, I eat potato, you eat rice, we're different. That's not a difference. Okay, you can think about, okay, your country is there in that location, so agriculture-wise, rice is, makes sense there. So you may can think a step further. And what happens when we go abroad? Like the fish, we've been swimming our own culture, everything we're so familiar with. And when we start to leave the water, we're like a fish out of water. As a Chinese, okay, I came to Finland, I never even tasted cheese in my life, my whole life. I always saw it on TV, and I thought it was always some candy thing. It looks yellow, you know, the white people are so crazy about it. It must like be cake or candy, something sweet. You know, I always picture that. And I got to Finland, and I've tried it for the first time. It's salty. I said, this is, why do people even like this thing? And I later tried blue cheese for the first time, almost puked. But now I love cheese. It's just slowly, slowly. Like in the beginning, it was like fish. I was out of water. I did not like finished food in the beginning. But slowly, I can eat. I can survive. Okay, I find my way. So it's basically like this. We're out of water. So culture shock. It is a mental, physical, emotional adjustment to living in a new environment. It's a natural reaction. So it happens to all of us. If you don't have it, I don't know what's wrong with you. And it develops gradually. So you may not notice in the very beginning. So it may happen. You may realize that later in your life. The first 2 years when I was in Finland, I felt a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know why. It's just something is not right. And it took me a long time to understand the culture, how people think. You know, 8 p.m., there's no one on the street. You know, it's cold, it's dark, and it's like, what do I do now? So it takes time to get used to it. Like, it is a very isolated place. People have more personal space. You do more things on yourself. You know, I used to live in a community life. You know, you do everything with your friends. You don't even go to the toilet alone, you know. I'm going to go to the toilet. Come with me. You still grab two guys with you, you know. But here, you don't do that. You have to do most things independently. So this is the culture shock, and there are a lot of indicators, but again, it differs from person to person. So different people react to it differently. I would say if you're from Europe or North America, chances are it will be easier for you to adapt here. If you're from other cultures, distinct cultures, probably it will be harder for you. And usually, culture shock may cause you feelings of stress, confusion, anxiety, depression, helplessness, homesickness, especially. There were sad stories before. There was one, I think it was an American girl. She was here for only 2 weeks, exchange, and then she had to go back because she was too homesick. She couldn't handle it anymore. Have to go back. No, yeah. So that may happen too. So why do we have culture shock? Again, we don't have our familiar culture with us, our best friends, you know, family back home. And the presence of seemingly irrational, offensive, even hostile aspects of a target culture. So in the beginning, Finnish culture can be weird too. And again, my professor, he's American. When his father was here in U.S. last year, you know, he lives in the neighborhood where he says hello to everyone he meets. So he walked around the lake, U.S. Yadavi, and he met like 73 people. So he said 73 good mornings to people. He got maybe 6 good mornings back. So it is not the culture that, I don't know, to strangers, people don't usually just greet each other. But for him, Finnish culture is stupid because people are rude. People don't say hi back. It's just basic manner. You say hi to people you meet. But no, probably not work. Probably that's not the case in Finland. And that shouldn't be like irrational or even stupid. You should see it probably just different, nothing stupid. And also the lack of ability or linguistic or other skills. And the Finnish language, it is a very difficult one. And I do encourage you to study more yourself. And the more you study, the more you understand the culture. I think it applies to every culture in that sense. And next, we'll talk about there are 4 stages of culture shock. The first one is honeymoon spirit. I guess that's where you guys are now. It's honeymoon stage. Everything is so new, so different. You have all the international friends around you, new school, new teachers, new environment and all that. But I'm sorry, that's going to, you know, it's not going to last long. Then you go down, 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 down. You go down to cry period. You get frustrated. Things are just stupid, as I said. And you just don't understand how they can be so rude, can be so irrational. And that's when you have the ethnocentrism yourself. You know, back home, we do things like this. It's not better. You know, things they do here are just stupid. This is the frustration stage. And you notice more shortcomings. You will say the winter is dark and cold. It's impossible. And slowly, you go through the adjustment period. So gradually, you go back. You by trial and error, you try different things. Okay, this work, I'll stick to this. That don't work. I'll probably change my strategy. So you learn what is appropriate and what is effective, how to get your things done here. You live in a different country. Maybe you don't speak Finnish perfectly, but how can you manage your things with your limited language skills, cultural skills? So you relax more, you're more comfortable with yourself, and you start to like Finland again, probably. And eventually you reach the biculturalism period, and that refers to you are a bicultural person, so you can function fully in Finland and back in your home country too. Yeah, that's the ultimate goal. But oftentimes there is one thing that is missing from the model, is the reverse culture shock. You guys don't have that now, but when you return back to your home country, I hope you do, not like me get stuck here. that's also okay. But just, you will visit your home country once in a while, I'm sure. And you will have to readjust to your own culture. It seems stupid, right? It's my hometown. Why do I have to adjust back, you know? And so that's why it's not expected most of the time. And assuming things will be the same. You know, I was born and raised there. What's the problem? And this happened to me last year. I went back with my professor, this is American animation. I went back to Shanghai, and I said, you know, we'll go back together. Just relax. I'll take care of things for you. You just enjoy your trip and everything. And it turned out in China now we have this app that's so popular. You do everything with the app. You book a taxi with the app. You pay bills. You take the order takeouts. You like search for restaurants. You basically do everything with the app. And I don't have it. I don't even know how to use it. And I feel like a retard back home. I can't do anything. Like, we need a cab. I don't know what to do. You're local, but I don't have that. So it happens to you. But things are not going to just be the same for you after all these years. And in fact, things are changing very fast. So be prepared that things can be different even back home, so you may need some time to adjust back. As we said, It's the honeymoon, like you guys like there at the peak, and then you go down to the crisis, and slowly, slowly you go up, and then by culture. Going home may go down a little bit, but generally that period will be a lot shorter. Then you go back. Of course, it's just a general theoretical model, doesn't apply to anyone. And of course, there are a lot of more factors can affect the whole adaptation process. As I was saying, if I have my grandma here, she's not going to pick up. She may have the honeymoon stage, she will stay in that frustration stage forever. She's going to complain about everything. You won't have the motivation to learn the language and be part of the culture. She would just, no. So there are a lot of more factors can come into play. So when it comes to managing stress, so what you can do first is to expect culture shock to happen. So it's a natural part, and it's not a weakness. To admit it and give yourself some time to adapt. And please don't stay alone with your worries. Talk to your families and friends back home, and also friends here. Write a diary, or blog, just, you know, ways to vent your frustration. And also, I'm sure we have great tutors here. We have international office. UVascular is a really international, it's kind of student town. I'm sure you'll find all kinds of supports you need. And the psychological support, the student health service. So don't stay alone with your worries. I'm sure a lot more people probably have the same in mind. Just go talk to people. And use your humor. Just you know, feel like you own the place. You know, it's your time now. Okay, you have every right to curse, you have every right to make jokes. It's yours. So slowly, as you can see, it goes in loops. It doesn't just go up. And it goes, you know, there will be high times you feel, I love Finland, Finland is perfect. I can live here forever. And then you have this low point is, I want to leave tomorrow. I want to book the very next flight back home. So there will be ups and downs. But eventually, even your downs can be higher than the ups before. So slowly, it's a long process. It doesn't just go linear up. So to be successful in intercultural encounters, so positive attitude and motivation, and that is more important than anything. You know, I've had conversations with people with whom we don't share a mutual language, you know, just by body language, gestures, or even drawings. You can really talk to someone. If you have that motivation to communicate, you almost always can succeed. And I would say in this intercultural environment, start your conversation with positive topics. You know, don't like start with, I heard there's disaster happening in your country, you know, blah, 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 and all the negative things. Don't start there, you know. Get to know each other a little bit well, you know. Maybe in the future you can talk about those tricky, more sensitive topics. Don't start there, okay? You just say, I love your country, it's beautiful, I want to go there. You'll probably make more friends in that way. Okay. And self-awareness is the knowledge-wise. So again, it's about language, it's about culture, how to behave appropriately. And social skills, learning to listen. So those are the basics communication skills. Probably you will, they are beneficial in every context. Even you go back home, those are going to be beneficial too. And sensitivity. So you learn to be more patient and more flexible. Just a few tips from me, like some practical information. I'm sure you will get more tips from others, but first of all, respect for privacy and personal space. This is people have, as we put it, people have like bigger bubbles. You know, when your bubbles, they need more their personal space. You don't usually just go knock on a friend's door and just say, hey, I'm just here. You don't usually do that. Probably you make a phone call and say, let's meet for a coffee or something. That's how you meet friends here. So it's respect for privacy is very important. And the silence. It is one of the stereotypes against Finns, like Finns are quiet and silent. You know, I would love to say it's fake, but it's not true. But again, it's true. So I'm very torn on this subject. But in general, things are quiet, and they're very straight to the point. And probably you will notice in your emails, usually they have the Finnish part and English part. So, and the Finnish part usually is like, hey, that's the whole thing, you know, then the email goes. And the English one is usually more, dear all students, you know, it is more, they're a lot softer there. I don't know. Things are just very direct to the point. What is it? Let's talk about it. Okay. A punctuality as well. So if you agree to meet a friend for coffee at 2, for instance, you show up at 2. I know there are many cultures that you don't agree, and people don't used to agree on a fixed time. It's like, let's meet for coffee tomorrow afternoon. And you don't even talk about when. Afternoon can be 1 to 4, you know, it's just very open for imagination too. And I was once in Spain, and we talked, meeting a friend, and he was on the phone, he's like, mañana. I said, 2. You know, mañana means tomorrow. I said, he said, 2 tomorrows. Probably he means like a few days after, or tomorrow, or any time. But that meeting happened that very afternoon. Okay, let's meet today, like in the afternoon. So you said like a few tomorrows. Whatever, let's meet in the afternoon. So punctuality works a bit differently here. So people are actually punctual. When they say a time, they mean it. Also, we have to keep in mind university is a bubble. And this is also very important. As I've seen in the past, students, they stay in university only. They don't go interact with the society. You have to keep in mind university is a very safe place. You know, it's generally very international. You can speak basically English to anyone. You can always get help in English. But out there, probably not. So I do encourage you to go out to interact with locals. And I know there are like this friends exchange program and all that, but you are actually interacting with the people who want to interact with you. So if you want a bigger challenge, just go out just to explore yourself. And I'm sure, and to explore the authentic Finnish life, you will find a lot of challenges there, and again, you will gain a lot. Not only in the university, you talk to your students, and at the end of the day, you leave and you say, I understand Finland. You understand Finnish universities, yes, probably not Finland. They're different. So, success intercultural exchange brings. What can we gain? We gain more awareness, acceptance of cultural differences. We become more open-minded. And of course, we have personal growth. We know how to talk to people from different cultural backgrounds. We know new ways of doing things. And probably you know how to say bad words in different languages when you go back. You probably know how to cook different ethnic food and everything. So those are other gains. For more information, from our department, we have this the course Introduction to Intercultural Communication. So basically we talk about culture shock and the intercultural competence more, a little bit more in depth. So if you're free, come to check it out. And there are a few websites here. And then also a few books here. I know probably not going to read. Of course not. Just in case there are a few nerds among you. They're there. And thank you so much. Do you have any questions or... please.
Can we get maybe a few slides back to the link?
To the...
No. It was like one of the last slides with the links.
Here?
Yes.
Yeah. I think those are fairly easy to find. If you just basically go to Google, you find a lot of information. Yeah. Any other question? Okay. Again, thank you. I'm done.